Bill Padley on TRE. Talk Radio Europe.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay, it's time to talk to the Citizens Advice Bureau in Spain, and it's Rochelle. Good morning, Rochelle.
Good morning, Bill.
Now, you see, last week you were on some mountaintop being blown away by a super gale.
Yeah, just my own place, but it really was blowing a gale, yeah.
Isn't it funny how here, when it's windy, like it even affects a landline?
Yeah, it does.
I must say. It doesn't make any sense, but there we go. Nice to have you on, Rochelle. And the reason, of course, we know that Myra's here normally. She's off on a bit of a jolly, isn't she, at the moment? She's off to Glasgow.
Yeah, she is in Glasgow, yeah.
Yeah, my hometown.
Is it?
Yes, indeed.
Did you give her any tips?
I've given her lots of tips. Most of them involve whiskey.
Oh, okay, good. She'll enjoy that.
She'll come back happy, if maybe none the wiser. Now, what prompted this particular topic? And by the way, if anybody wants to call, 952-78-4000, our normal number, and we're going to talk about driving in Spain. And, oh, blimey, where do we start with this, Rochelle? It's the biggest pub talk, really, about life in Spain, is about what the actual laws are regarding various things. And it really does depend on who you ask and what day you ask them.
Yeah.
The reason I started with this was I'm always banging on about driving in Spain, much to the annoyance of some people. Morning, Sharon. And I read a big thread on your Facebook page on the CAB, and yeah, it was about stopping at a stop sign.
Yeah.
And there was such a huge discussion going on about this.
Everybody had something to contribute, and it was
various guesses as to what the law was, what the law should be, what the police did, what the police didn't do.
Okay.
And what was interesting was that several people came back with examples where, in fact, we had a caller this morning who called up and they knew this is what we were doing, saying that they had, in fact, been fined by the police when they had stopped at a stop sign, but the police weren't having any of it. Now, you looked into this and found out the actual law.
Yeah, it's the reglement, the Reglamento de Tráfico.
Right.
Article 151.
It's a good article, 151. I only got as far as 150 when I was reading that document, but yes.
Well, yeah, I'm persistent.
What does it say in this article, then?
It says that you have to bring your vehicle to a standstill.
Yep.
So that means no wheels rolling.
Right. Now, so that's no different to the law in the UK, which in the UK Highway Code, it says, and this is a much better law, this is Law RTA 1988, Section 36, and TSRGD Regulation 10 and 16. Now, I'd read that one already, so I know this off heart. That says you must stop behind the line at a junction with a stop sign and a solid white line across the road, wait for a safe gap in the traffic before you move off. That's the same law.
Of course, it says that in the Spanish one as well.
The same law, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, of course.
Now, the problem's arising where it's the interpretation of that law by certain officers.
That's always the case.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, they will tell you to stop for 3 seconds at least, or to even put on your handbrake.
Yes, yes.
I think some driving schools were teaching that. I think somebody commented.
Yes, that's correct.
That's nowhere to be found in the law. I think it's just to make sure that people actually stop.
Yeah.
And it's visible, but it's no way in the law.
Right. So it's nothing other than common sense that you already should know if you're driving in another country, the law's no different.
Now, no, the law's no different. You stop, you look to the left, you look to the right, make it very clear that you do, and then you wait for a safe gap to pass.
Exactly. Now, one of the interesting, we'll digress slightly here, but this is important. One of the interesting posts on your Facebook page was somebody who's saying they had done exactly that, but the officer had said, no, they didn't stop. And they said, well, actually, I can prove I did because I actually have a dash cam installed in my car. And that dash cam, A, shows me coming to a stop, and B, shows the speed at 0 kilometers per hour. Now, I don't imagine the best time to bring that up would be at the time they're trying to fine you for not stopping. But is it admissible, firstly, a dash cam?
Well, that depends on the judge. And it depends on the severity of the offence.
Right.
Now, let me explain.
Go on.
According to traffic law, as long as it doesn't hinder your field of vision, then it's fine. Then it's allowed. But there's something else that comes into place there, and that's the law of the data protection.
Yes.
So yes. That depends on the debt law. It depends whether it's admissible or not. If you have it on all the time,
yep.
Just you go in, you step into your car, you put it on, then it's not seen as something for your personal use. Then it's seen as video vigilance.
Right.
And video vigilance is ruled by very different and more strict rules than just using a dash cam for your own personal use. Having a laugh in the car, for example, and
right.
filming people in it.
Right.
Very different.
Okay, because a lot of these dash cams, they come on when you switch your car ignition on. They start recording, and they record in a loop. It's not like you go home and have to sift through 400 hours worth of stuff. They go in a loop, and when something exciting happens, you press a button, and it keeps that bit.
Yeah.
Now, in an accident, if somebody shunts into you from the back, you know, I saw one yesterday where that happened, and you've got a dash cam recording your rear vision, then you can prove that it was their fault. If somebody hits you from the side, you can prove it was their fault. So if I then said to the judge, well, look, here it is, would he say, that's fine, Mr. Padley, in that case, then you're exonerated and it was their fault?
Well, that would depend. I mean, for insurance purposes, it can be very handy, obviously.
Yeah.
But, for example, if there was only material damage...
Yeah.
And in the recording that you made, the other one is clearly recognisable, which, of course, it is, otherwise you wouldn't be using it, then it actually depends on the severity, whether it would... overrule the strict rules of the Data Protection Act.
Right.
Depends on the judge. There's no telling.
Okay. And you've got to be careful, haven't you? Because if you are stopped by the police and your dash cam is recording, they get quite grumpy about the fact that you're recording the conversation.
Yeah, the conversation or them recognizable with their badge or with their face or whatever.
Mm.
Under the citizen safety law, you're not allowed to film officers doing their job.
Wow. So even if you don't have a dash cam and you get stopped and the police stop you and you say, actually, I'm going to be smart here. I'm going to start my phone recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this conversation. They will tell you to switch it off, basically.
Yes, they will.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, well, that's that. Now, let's try and unravel the system in Spain in terms of... points, because it's actually opposite of what it is in the UK. I don't know where you're from Holland, aren't you? The Netherlands.
I'm from Holland.
Yeah, I don't know what it works like there, but in the UK, it's the opposite. You get points in the UK, and then reach a certain tally, then you're out. But here, it's the opposite.
It's the other way around. You get allotted 12 points when you just get your driving license, and then if your behaviour is okay, so you don't have any traffic offences against your name, you can build them up to 15 points maximum.
Right, okay.
And you can lose them, obviously, if there's traffic fines severe enough to deduct points from your licence.
Right, and those deductions are depending on the crime. So, for example, I've got some here. A 6-point deduction is for drunk driving over 50 milligrams per 100 litres. Refusing to take a breath test, driving at more than 150% of the speed limit, that would be a 6-point deduction.
Yep.
It's 4 points for more than 40 kilometres over the limit. This is the one that makes me absolutely howl with laughter. 3 points deduction, failing to maintain a safe distance behind the vehicle in front. Well, that's everybody I see on the road, basically.
Well, if they're spotted, yes.
Absolutely. And then a 2-point deduction, stopping on a bend or in a tunnel, but it's fine to stop on a roundabout and have a chat and get the shopping out. That's okay.
Yeah, you don't get that sort of course. If it's within city limits and they know you, especially.
Now, we are taking calls, Rochelle. This could be anything, so forgive me in advance. Good morning, you're live on TRE.
Hi, good morning. My name is Thomas. I'm from Alicante.
Hi, Thomas. What can we do
you
for?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, the stories this morning is about traffic and issues with vehicles in Spain.
Yeah.
I had an experience about 2 years ago where we went to a Royal Air Force Association lunch in Torrevieja.
Mm-hmm.
We had a light lunch, the usual entertainment was provided. I had 2 glasses of wine and a shandy. I then got in the car and went to drive home with my wife. We got stopped by the traffic police somewhere near outside of Torrevieja, and they breathalyzed me.
Mm-hmm.
And the reading came up that I was slightly over the limit, showed me that I was about a minuscule over the agreed alcohol content in my bloodstream,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't really question. I thought it's a bit harsh, but I accepted the fact that I may have had a little bit too much over the lunchtime with our comrades at the RAF Association in Torrevieja. That was accepted. What then happened was rather contentious and a little bit strange. They took my keys and said, they instructed me to say, please go and have some water and then have a bite to eat. We'll come back in an hour or two to deal with this and issue a ticket. They were good with their word. They came back approximately 2 hours later with the keys and then took another reading, which then showed that after my refreshments, my water and a hamburger and some fries, my blood levels had returned to normal.
I guess it's your breath level, not your blood level, right? This is your the level in your breath. Yeah.
Well, I'm no clinician, but yes, I guess that's the breath level was returned to normal. Yes. The reading then passed the criteria that they said was acceptable. And they said I had two options. Option A was to give them €600 on the spot at the cash point that was just nearby, which they'd parked the car next to conveniently for their purposes.
Right.
And
the second option was to go with them to the station and be booked in and go through the legal system and go through all that they were going to suggest. Me and my wife, being innocent and being a little bit frightened and not knowing the laws in Spain, we said, okay, well, let's just pay the fine and be done with it. And we gave them the €600 on the spot at Punta Prima near Torrevieja, and they took the money, gave us some kind of report and left. Is that legal? Can they do that? Is that all what we thought we'd been maybe had by somebody? We didn't know it was legitimate.
Well, the first question I have to ask then is, were you a resident at the time or not?
We weren't. Not. I wasn't arrested. No, we wouldn't. We weren't issued any papers. We didn't have to go back and answer for the offence at any point in the future. We didn't.
No, you were here on vacation.
Pardon me? Yes.
So you were here on vacation.
At that point in time, we were on vacation. We currently live now permanently in Spain.
Yeah.
My wife works at a lovely school in Murcia, a private school.
Sadly, non-residents can be fined on the spot.
Mm. Oh. Were you asked if you were a resident at the beginning?
No, that wasn't asked.
Were you driving a UK-plated car?
No, we were driving a Spanish hire vehicle, and we do reside in a village. We own our own property near Orihuela in Spain. We have ownership of that property, and it is ours. So we do have NIE and all that, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the thing is, I mean, they look out for hire cars or for UK-plated cars or any foreign-plated cars to do their tricks on with regards to trying to catch non-residents, because they can find them on the spot. I cannot say anything about the amount that you were fined, because I don't have those rules in my head. I don't know them by heart. But the thing is, you're not entitled to the discount when they find you on the spot, and if you agree to pay, and as a non-resident, they can do that, yes.
Right.
But, of course, they're bad apples. So maybe you have been had.
This is a bone of conjecture, because I know previously in the UK, Mr Blair, the former Prime Minister of the UK, did try to introduce similar legislation where offenders, not necessarily traffic offenders, were going to be frog-marched to the cash point by the authorities in order to pay on the spot.
That's because they were carrying chemical weapons at the time. That's what it was, why Blair was doing that, yes. I digress.
Well, perhaps they hadn't washed that day. But that is against, in my opinion, against your human right, because you have the right to go through a fair trial and justify your actions. So to be frog-marched anywhere by any authority, in my opinion, and perhaps in other people's opinion, is perhaps a little bit wrong and against your human right. But we live, as a friend of mine said to me, who I worked with, he says, you know, sometimes, Tom, that the laws that happen locally in Spain are a little bit like the Wild West. I said, no, that can't be true. Surely it can't. We're living in a modern society where, you know, it's but no, you see, you've got to keep an open mind here and be careful next time what happens.
I guess, Richelle, there's a kind of flip side of that many people would say, oh, that's fine, I'll give you the money when I get back to the UK, and then just disappear into the ether and they never see the money, which is why they're probably adopting that approach.
Yeah. It is easier now, because all the traffic organisations are talking to each other. So they are connected and they can find you if they want to, but not for all offences. It would depend.
Mm.
I mean, I hear of instances in the greater Torrevieja area, and Torrevieja does suffer quite a bad press at times, with being quite a depressed area, believe it or not. It's one of the most depressed zones in Spain. There is quite a lot of extranjeros who do operate from time to time, and there has been rumours and instances of being fake traffic. Police stop people, and you have to be aware of that. And like you rightly said previously, always ask for ID and don't get out of your vehicle if you feel unsafe or unsure.
Yes. Well, thank you for your call. We'll continue the discussion. We appreciate your call, and hopefully that's kind of gone some way to explaining it. Rochelle, that's an interesting point. Who can fine you on the spot? Is it only the Guardia Civil, or can a local or national police fine you for a traffic offence?
In principle, they can all do it, but if a local police finds you, then they would have to retain you there and call or whatever a Guardia to confirm it, and they are the ones who have to actually issue. They can signal it and stop you, but they cannot actually issue the traffic fine, apart from parking fines.
Right. Okay. And this the whole thing about resident and discount and all the rest of it. This is where they say, "Are you a resident?" You say, "Yes, I am." Here's my NIE number. They say, "Well, in that case, then if you pay it in a certain amount of time, you get a 50% discount." Is that correct?
Yeah, 20 days. Yeah.
Right. So they wouldn't march a resident off to a cash point, because they're not a flight risk in effect, are they?
I mean, they've got your NIE number, they've got your license plate, so they can track you down. The fact is, you're hardly ever given the actual fine on the spot. You get a notification.
Yeah, I see.
And then afterwards, you get the actual fine in the mail.
Oh, right, okay.
On most of them. Some people call us and they say, "Well, there's no payment details on the thingy I've been given." I say, "No, because it's only just a notification and the actual fine will come later."
Right, I understand. So that's interesting. Okay, we'll take some more calls on this. It may be related to that subject, it may not. Good morning, you're live on TRE.
Good morning, Bill. Hans from Denia.
Hi, Hans. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm just not 100% sure if the lady is right when she said, "Well, I have been at least fined by the local police in Iber for talking on the phone, €100.
Wow.
Fair enough, it didn't take 3 points of me, which the traffic did. And I have been fined in Benito from the local police for crossing a continuous line and also not having
the city limits?
ID on the car.
Sorry, say again, Rochelle?
Was it within the city limits?
Hans, was it within the city limits?
Yeah, then the local police do have authority.
Right. And I guess, Rochelle, this is half the problem, isn't it? It's about certain, and this is not just a Spanish thing, it's about the police and their own interpretation of how they apply the law, isn't it? As to whether they,
Some things are very clear. I mean, you have to maintain control of your vehicle in all circumstances. Mm. You have a required field of vision. You have to keep permanent attention to driving, so no distractions. Mm. So no earplugs, for example. That falls under that one.
Or hats that go over your ears.
That falls under the same one. The control of the vehicle, there comes in the flip-flop issue that does the rounds every year again. Of course, the law does not say you cannot drive with flip-flops or with bare feet, but they can put in doubt whether you were actually in full control of your vehicle if there's an accident and they see that you've been wearing flip-flops or bare feet.
Yes. I mean, some of them are bizarre. Driving shirtless is one which you
That's
can be fined.
That's not a finable offence.
You see, these are all urban myths. I've got a great one here. Eating ice cream while driving.
Then you're not in full control of your vehicle. You have to have two hands at the wheel.
So it doesn't have to just be ice cream. It could be a prawn sandwich.
It could be biting your nails. It could be holding your phone. That's the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And now let's assume then, Rochelle, that we have been fined and we don't agree with the fine. What happens in Spain if you're not? So they basically said, okay, we're going to fine you. If you pay within 20 days, whatever you said, it's half a discount. And you say, well, I'm going home and I'm going to appeal. Is there any point in appealing?
Well, yes, there is. I mean, it depends on the offence. If there's, for example, if you have a fine for outstaying, you're welcome at in the blue zone, parking fine.
Right.
Then you can appeal on the spot, pay an extra couple of euros and the fine disappears.
Okay.
Not many people know that, but full information is on the Citizens Advice website, of course.
Interesting.
Well, yes. if you get fined for example, not having exchanged your UK driving license for a Spanish one.
Yep.
Then you the best way to do is go directly to Traffico, show your license, and appeal then and there.
Right.
They have forms for that.
And in your experience, and you have a lot of experience with these kind of things, do people win appeals here? Do people actually win appeals, or is it kind of... Yeah?
Of course, yeah. And if you get a fine for speeding or for driving a vehicle that something was wrong with it, and you can prove that you were not there on that day, or something is wrong with the license plate, or it describes the vehicle wrongly, write a letter.
Yeah.
The thing is, with speeding fines, you have to pay them first, and then you can appeal.
Right.
And you have to pay them in full. If you pay with a discount, you cannot appeal.
Ah, okay. Understood.
That's a tricky bit.
Right, got it. We are running out of time, but one more call here. Good morning, you're live on TRE.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
It's Carol from the Costa Blanca.
Hi, Carol.
I was driving... we don't have it now, but we had a couple of years ago, we had a big 4x4. When I put the seatbelt on, it cut me across the neck when I was driving. So I put it under my arm.
Right.
And it was still, the seatbelt was on, but I'd have been decapitated if I'd had an accident. It was on property. Anyway, I was coming home, and I live in Cariosa, which you probably don't know. It's by Guadalest, and the police... In a plain car, the back came up and it said, put it here, stop.
Right.
And it was flashing. So I stopped, obviously, and two guardia got out and he put his hat on and he said, you're not wearing your seatbelt properly. So I explained why. I said, you know, I've got a problem. And I showed him and he said... He said, well, it's against the law. So even though I explained I could be decapitated with the seatbelt, and it was down on its lowest thing. I was showing him everything. I was fined on the spot.
How much?
I was fined. It was €95. And if I paid it immediately, it was down to 70. And they took me to the cash point, and I drew out the money. I gave it to him, and he gave me a receipt.
Were you a resident at the time, a registered resident?
Yes, I've been a resident for 30-odd years.
Then they shouldn't have done that.
Can you say no, Rochelle? Can you say, I'm a resident, and I'm sorry, I'm not paying you. Issue the document, and I'll wait for the fine in the post.
With the Guardia, you know, they may have a rule for them, and they've got a rule for you.
Well, the thing is, it was a finable offence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should wear it as it was supposed to be worn. The only exceptions are if you have a declaration from your doctor that for some reason you have to wear it in another way.
Mm.
Yeah.
But so, they were wrong to demand the money there and then, and they should have just issued a
definitely
a
wrong.
I was escorted to the cash point.
That's scary.
Yeah. I know, you're not the only one. I'm sorry to say.
I know.
Thanks for your call, Carol, anyway. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, I mean, that's the scary bit, isn't it, Rochelle? You kind of, when faced with two guys in a, you know, with probably guns, you know, stuffed down their trousers, and it's a difficult, even me, Mr. Argumentative, would probably think twice about that.
Yeah, and people have the stories from way back when all the tourists were trapped.
Yeah.
As a rule, almost.
Yeah.
At least the stories were there. So people are a bit apprehensive, I understand that. Could I just end up with just one little known traffic rule?
Of course.
Yeah? If you're driving in a lane that's normally used for the other side of the traffic on a two-lane road.
Yes.
And there's roadworks, for example, and you're led on towards the other one.
Yeah.
You always have to put on your lights.
Do you?
Always.
Really?
Yes. And loads of people are fined for that. There's a section on our website. If you search for avoid fines, little known traffic rules, this is one of them.
Wow. Well, Rochelle, we've just scraped the surface. But as you mentioned there, a lot of information is on the Citizens Advice Bureau Spain website.
Yes.
Just Google Citizens Advice Bureau Spain. There's a website and a Facebook page, and you can get all the answers there. And certainly some very interesting discussions go on the Facebook page. It's worth it just for that. Rochelle, we thank you so much. We're delighted you didn't get blown off the top of the mountain again this week.
Thank you.
We'll speak to you again very, very soon.
A pleasure. pleasure.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Talk Radio Europe.